This is the Crystal Ball Run podcast from crystalballrun.com. My name is Kevin McGuire. Today I'm going to be joined by Adam Kramer from Bleacher Report to talk a little bit about the NFL draft from a college football perspective, the amazing Chucky Keaton and some other key players that he's been profiling, the latest national championship odds, and a little bit more as well. Before we get to that interview, though, on behalf of the entire Crystal Ball Run staff, I'd like to invite you to follow us on Twitter at Crystal Ball Run. You can also like us on Facebook at facebook.com/crystalballrun. And if you're on Google Plus, you can add us to your circles as well. Just log on to Google Plus, search for Crystal Ball Run. We should pop right up. Since our last episode, we have also officially been relisted in the iTunes podcast directory, so please take a moment, make sure you're subscribed to the updated podcast feed. That way, whenever we have a new episode, it'll be delivered right to your iTunes as soon as it's available. Previous subscribers to the podcast will have to resubscribe. We apologize for the inconvenience. We're also now available anytime on demand on Stitcher Radio. For all the links to keep up to date with the show, just go to crystalballrun.com or you can check out the show notes for this episode. Our guest today on the Crystal Ball Run podcast is Adam Kramer. You definitely know him on Twitter. If you're not following him on Twitter, I don't know what you're doing. You can know him as Kegs and Eggs. Adam is the national college football lead writer over at Bleacher Report. Adam, how are you doing today, man?
I'm doing well, sir. How about yourself?
Doing very well. We were just talking a little bit before we hit the record button, and we're talking about how we're getting in preseason coverage mode, which, like we said, has kind of snuck up on us this week. So I'm sure everybody's kind of getting the juices flowing. We're getting down in that countdown almost into double digits, Adam.
It's weird. It's, you know, the last two off seasons have been sort of, you know, chaotic. And this, for the most part, outside of a story here or there, has been pretty quiet. But I haven't hit like that anxiousness where I'm just sort of feverishly like Xing off the days yet. It was good spring, good everything, no realignment, thank goodness, none of that. But we're getting closer. We're 8 weeks away, SEC media days. We're starting the new season is coming over the horizon, so we're getting ready to actually talk about football things, which is a beautiful thing.
It really is. We're coming off of the NFL draft, which was last weekend, of course, and really one of the big stories as far as college football this week is concerned seems to be the ACC going to an 8-game conference schedule or staying put on an 8-game conference schedule. And if that's going to be the biggest story we have to talk about, we really need to get to media days pretty quickly.
The 8-game, 9-game schedule, we're like forcing these huge narratives to come out of these. You know, the SEC did it, and it turned into like a week-long discussion on why this was good or bad and why this made sense or not. And the ACC balls, and we sort of just regurgitate the same conversation. So that is very off-season. I mean, I thought actually, and then we had that crab leg gate.
Of course.
Which is pretty much the most off-season story you could ever imagine. So yeah, this is the mode we're in. But again, it could be worse. So as long as we keep slowly moving toward it, and we did have the NFL draft, I mean, you brought up a good point. Before we came on, the NFL draft was pushed back a bit, which people hated, but in the end, we're closer and closer to actual kickoff, which is lovely.
Well, let's just talk briefly about the NFL draft. We don't need to get into the whole draft grade analysis. We'll leave that for the NFL people out there. But it's always kind of interesting to get the college football perspective. And I know you were covering it a little bit, and you had some thoughts about what we're seeing, I guess, as far as trends are concerned. I know you wrote something on Bleacher Report about whether or not the Big Ten should be concerned about the number of draft picks they've been sending compared to, I guess, what the SEC has done and what the ACC did this year. You had some other things going on with the NFL draft as well. What's your overall takeaway from this past NFL draft as far as the college football world is concerned?
I think it's interesting. I think the story I think that most people are talking about now is the underclassmen. And a lot of these kids who are declaring early who are not getting drafted. Mm-hmm. And is it bad advice? Is it the system? Is it everything? It's a combination of it. I actually wrote about this a little while ago that I still think, you know, even though some of these kids made bad decisions, so to speak, you know, getting 3 years of free education and having a chance to live out your dream with a minuscule shelf life that is the football and professional football, I still think there are much worse decisions to be made. And I understand if you're a junior and you're sort of a fringe guy, why you'd want to leave. What I'm curious to see is, because we've seen a huge uptick in underclassmen, declaring, right. Really the last 4 years. I mean, you look at the trending, it's staggering. Is that going to stay the same? I think it will. I still think you're going to see a ton of players decide to make that move. And again, is some of it bad advice? And some players, should some players come back? Probably. But do you understand why they're leaving and trying to get that payday? And even if they don't get drafted, they make a team and get paid $500,000 to play football? Yeah, I think it makes some sense.
Yeah, I think we all understand that there's probably some poor or ill-advised advice being thrown out there at these players for a variety of reasons, depending on who you're talking to. And it's not something that's going to be going away, like you're saying. It's always going to be there, and it may even get worse. We don't know. But it is something that is kind of concerning, I think, from a college football standpoint, because you're seeing a lot of talented players decide to leave the college game for a chance at the NFL that they're just not getting.
And selfishly, I don't like it because it's like you're losing out. Right. The guy that really comes to mind, the guy that I think when I looked at this year and was saying, there's examples of guys who should go and should, Josh Stewart from Oklahoma State. Mm-hmm. I thought that was a perfect example of a guy that if he stayed. Selfishly, he's one of the most fun, overall talents I enjoyed watching this year because he's outstanding. Two, a guy that could size up a little bit, just add to that highlight reel that he already had, goes undrafted, gets picked up by a team. But that's a perfect example of a guy when he declared, I was like, that's interesting. I'm not going to blame the guy for doing it because, again, I understand why he's going. And you want to go get paid to play football, God bless you. And you're allowed to finally leave, God bless you. But that was a guy that I thought, man, if he would have stayed, he could have shown a lot more people what he's capable of, what we've seen, and perhaps it would have changed his outcome for him.
One of the things as far as college football fans were really focused on in the NFL draft, aside from Johnny Manziel and the Michael Sam situation, was what happened with the Texas Longhorns? No draft picks, first time since 1937. It's been well documented, I think, over the last couple of days. I'm of the belief that Charlie Strong's not going to see that trend continue for very long. I think Charlie Strong's going to do a pretty good job with getting Texas to be tougher, and I think we're going to see some Texas players drafted next year, but should Texas be concerned about that NFL draft, and is it a sign of where this program has been heading?
I think it is. What's concerning is that this is sort of uncharted territory, and this is Texas.
Right.
So I think it's concerning in the sense that it doesn't mean anything, and this is sort of what I wrote about with the Big Ten as well. Not having any players drafted in certain spots or drafted at all, it doesn't mean anything if you win. So be it. I mean, Boise State, for example, didn't exactly have players like pouring out into the NFL and they won games. Texas hasn't been that. Texas has struggled a little bit. Also, surprise, Jackson Jeffco didn't get more love. Just a quick sidebar. I mean, I think he's a pretty good player. But, I think this is sort of a product of what Texas football has become or what it became under Mack Brown. The talent was down. The recruiting had started to suffer a little bit. We've seen a quick uptick in that under Charlie Strong. And look, he had two players drafted before Teddy Bridgewater on his Louisville team. And right. Add that, by the way, congratulations. Just head out to Vegas and play your favorite game because clearly something more than we don't. So the talent is going to be there. You land a four-star quarterback, maybe your quarterback of the future already this week. It's just a matter of time for Charlie Strong. He's going to get the talent there. He has his system in place. I think he's a guy that has can really coach. And I really think his defense at Louisville over the past few years has been undervalued as we've marveled over Teddy Bridgewater. So no doubt about it, I don't think this is a trend that's going to stay at all.
Yeah, and just look at that NFL draft. The two players that were chosen ahead of Teddy Bridgewater were both on the defensive side. So that's something that I think Texas fans should probably take a little pride in having some faith in what Charlie Strong is going to do with this program. Like I said, it's not going to be very long before Texas is back in business, I think, as far as the Big 12 is concerned. But let's talk about some of the key players that we're going to be watching this season. And you and I have the same kind of eye for some of these key players. That you've profiled three guys in particular over the last month or so at Bleacher Report that I have really been enjoying watching. Rakeem Cato, Marshall, Brett Hundley at UCLA, who I think is going to have a huge year and become really a, more of a household name, I think. And then the other guy who I just love is Chucky Keaton at Utah State. Really hoping for the best for him this coming season after what he had to go through last season. What you got a chance to talk to some of these guys. What is it about them that makes them so special for their individual programs? And really, what is it that's going to make them one of the players that you have to watch this season?
Well, I think it's interesting, you know, three of them in particular, you know, very different in style, very different in terms of expectations, very different how they play. I think Rakeem Cato, for, you know, starting with him, I don't understand why he doesn't get more coverage than love, because you watch him play and you look at some of his numbers over the past few years and you say, my goodness, the guy's just a stat sheet machine. I mean, he just destroys box scores. So why are we paying more attention? Marshall has a chance to go undefeated this year. Something he talked about. If that's the case, and even if they give it a good shot, that won't be the case anymore. Chucky Keaton, I know, is sort of, you know, has a cult-like following. If you watch Utah State and you're on Twitter, at least the people that we follow, he is one of the most exciting players in all of college football, because there is that Johnny Manziel aspect to him, where he can take off, where he can deliver the pass. But my goodness, when he went down last year, what, 20 touchdowns, 2 interceptions when he blew out his knee. And this kid is phenomenal. And like Keto, he's not the biggest guy.
Right.
You know, 6 feet, 200 pounds. I mean, these are guys that are undersized, and perhaps that comes, that's a little bit why we don't appreciate them. But man, I mean, again, a guy that is electric, and you hope he can come back this year and starts it off against Tennessee. Which is going to be exciting, because no program in the country has more hope right now. And then there's Hundley, Brett Hundley, who is completely different. I mean, this guy is 6'4", you know, 235 pounds. He's as fast as most running backs. And from an NFL standpoint, people look at him now as a potential top 10 pick, top 15 pick. Probably would have been that if he came out this year. And yet he stayed. And he stayed because UCLA is on a track to be in that college football playoff discussion. He stayed because he thinks he can improve his draft stock, which I think he can. Mm-hmm. I still think he is learning the position and really, really raw. But if it all comes together for him, the tools are off the chart. And just talking with him, I mean, what a bright kid. I mean, he really does get it. And with all the talent around him, he could be in for an absolutely huge season.
Yeah, we're going to talk a little bit about UCLA a little bit more a little bit later, because I want to touch on them a little bit, because I'm pretty big on them right now. But going back to what you were saying about Rakeem Cato, and really this applies to Chucky Keaton, why they don't get as much attention as they probably deserve. I think you understand the reason. They play in those conferences like Conference USA and the Mountain West that are just overshadowed by those power conferences.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And it's why Chucky Keaton, when he talked about the opportunity to play Tennessee, he was excited. I mean, this is a team that has just barely lost out to Wisconsin and USC and others. So they've played some big teams and come up just short. I think they lost by, you know, less than a touchdown in 2 or 3 close games, beat Utah. So yeah, it is unfortunate that you see these players and immediately we say, or the national narrative is, oh, their schedule's a joke.
Right.
And rather than appreciating them and evaluating each. So there's no doubt that played a huge role in deciding whether or not we should give them the proper treatment.
And this goes back to what we saw with Boise State and Kellen Moore a few years back. You know, you had a chance to play those big teams from those power conferences. You got to shine. Like Kellen Moore against Georgia, and I think that game was in Atlanta. So, I mean, those are the kind of games that you have to take advantage of, especially if you want to be in that Heisman mix. And who knows? I mean, I don't know where we're going now with the college football playoff. I don't know where the BCS Buster platform really comes into play here, but you have to take advantage of those opportunities. So, you know, if you're a guy like Chucky Keaton going into Tennessee in front of over 100,000 fans, in front of a resurgent Tennessee program, I might say, you know, that is a terrific opportunity to really try and embrace right out of the chute in week one.
It's prime time. It's a game that I can't wait for. And maybe of all of them in week, you know, first week, other than LSU, Wisconsin, which I need to find a way to get to for purposes. It is really exciting. I mean, this was already going to be a big-time game, and the fact that this is his first game back from the ACL injury is enormous. There is a ton to prove here. I know he wouldn't say that. He's too nice and humble and quiet, but he's got a ton to prove here, and he wants to wear, you know, more than just personal praise. He wants to put the Utah State program on the map. I got that impression speaking with him, so he has a real chance to do that.
Yeah, and don't forget, Utah State was, they gave Fresno State all they could handle in the Mountain West Championship. You know, they were very close to winning that conference championship without Chucky Keaton, which I think was a tremendous credit to that entire team, really, once he went down. I kind of wrote them off a little bit, but they battled back, they won their division, and they came close. They came close.
Yeah, they had a really good team. I mean, they had a couple of really good defensive players. Mm-hmm. Interesting this year because they lose a bit. They lose quite a bit. They lose a little bit on defense. Wide receivers are going to be new. Something Keaton said, you know, he wasn't in the spring, so he couldn't necessarily get all the reps with them. But it sounds like he's sort of learning, you know, who they are and how they play. They had a pretty good team last year, right. But still talent there. Still guys there that have logged plenty of snaps.
We're talking to Adam Kramer from Bleacher Report. I know you are a guy that pays attention to the betting lines and everything that's coming out of Vegas. You're one of the go-to resources, I think, as far as I'm concerned, to get some analysis for that. So I'm going to throw some things your way because this week we saw some of the odds come out from the Las Vegas Superbook with the national championship odds, which I'm sure you're all over right now. So just to run down to a couple of them, Florida State looks like the favorite at 4-1, Oregon right back there at 5-1 or 5-2-1, and Alabama 6-1. Do you think that those are kind of the obvious three, or were you surprised by any of those odds right there off the top of the order there?
No, I'm really not surprised with the three teams named. I think the interesting one for people is Alabama because of, you know, they don't have a quarterback. At this point, they don't know who it's going to be. But remember, I mean, these betting odds are a product of who people are interested in betting in and how Vegas thinks the action will be rather than, you know, overall team assessment. I still think Alabama has a ton of talent too. But it's interesting to see a team like Alabama is being as bet right now to stay in that top three. But again, no surprise. And I also think a lot of people assume that Jacob Coker is going to come in and be pretty good. And I'm in that corner as well. I think of the three, I would probably lean toward Oregon. To me, this is one of those years that you're waiting for it to come together. I think Marcus Mariota can be all world, all everything this year if he stays healthy. He was that last year, and he had that knee injury that sort of hampered him a little bit. You worry about games like Michigan State and Stanford and how they're going to mesh. I still think they have some defensive line play, that defensive linemen that could help sort of correct the formula that has taken them down the last few years. And again, I look at him, I look at Thomas Tyner. When I'm thinking about the Chalks and Oregon at 5-1, to me that makes a lot of sense. I think they're going to be just a beast of a team this year. A lot of that will be because Marcus Mariota is still only scratching the surface on what he can do.
One of the things that's obviously going to be different this season is the fact that we're going into this college football playoff where we're going to have the top four teams selected to play for a national championship. Now, I don't know how that comes into the equation when they're coming together with these odds, because it is going to be a different ballgame in January, because instead of just playing one game, you're going to have to win two games to win this thing. So I think it's a testament to where people feel Florida State would fit in any four-team combination and where Oregon would fit Alabama. If you want to go down the line there with those odds, Ohio State is the fourth team at 10-1. So, I mean, if you have those four teams in there, they're obviously saying that Florida State would come out on top of against those four teams. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I mean, I've talked to some Vegas people about this, guys who have been involved with the lines about how they're going to adjust, and I don't think they really know. But what I think is going to change as part of it is the fact that we have, you know, starting in late October, every Tuesday, we're going to have the top four teams outlined for us. Mm-hmm. You're going to see a dramatic change in the odds because of that. When we get a look inside the mindset, I think the sports books are going to adjust accordingly, because it's not, you know, those are the four teams. Not only are those the four teams at the present time, but like you said, you'll have an idea of the path. It's never that easy, of course, as we know. Somebody always loses when they're not supposed to. You know, we have six undefeated teams. It turns out to be the perfect two at the end. With a few weeks to go, it seems to work out that way. But because four teams are going to be invited to the party, I think you're going to see a little bit of less value now. You're not going to see those big bombers at 50-1 who are, you know, hanging out at the bottom of the top 10 late in the season. Look, a few losses go their way, and then they get a big win, all of a sudden they're in the playoff. It's not exclusive as the BCS, and because of that, yeah, the value in some of the teams like Auburn last year, who late in the season were 30-1, 50-1, I don't think you're going to see that anymore.
Yeah, this is going to be a great unknown, really, for a lot of things in college football, not only for the playoffs, but really the betting odds and what happens in Vegas. I think that's going to be pretty fascinating to watch unfold week to week, really, as the season progresses. I want to go back to the team that we kind of talked about earlier, the team that I am really starting to lean on a little bit as far as a, maybe a dark horse candidate. I don't know if we might really want to put them in that category, but UCLA comes in at 18-1 on the Las Vegas Superbook. I think it looks like a pretty good bet. Now, again, I'm not much of a betting guy, but if I were to place a bet on a team that may end up giving a good return, UCLA seems like a pretty decent team to keep an eye on.
Absolutely. I think that's a team. There are a handful of teams in that 18-30-1 range, and 18-50-1, really, that you look at and you say, yeah, I have a good feeling with them. I think UCLA is one of them. One of the youngest teams last year, especially defensively, and you look at what they're bringing back on that side, and losing to the bar, and that certainly hurts, but they don't lack 170s that can get after the quarterback. I think the other thing for them is the schedule. I mean, if you look at it, it's interesting early on. Traveling to Texas is a fascinating game. We'll probably learn a lot about them then. Traveling to Arizona State, again, another interesting game, but Arizona State, I think, is a team that's going to look a little different this year. Certainly talented, but maybe a little bit not as good. Oregon, Stanford at home. I mean, that's absolutely, those are huge, huge swing games that you want in your own building. I've heard a ton about the wide receivers for this team. Even though they lose Jack Evans, I've heard a ton about some of the kids they have going. Maybe the deepest group of wide receivers in the country. If they can run the ball consistently with someone other than Miles Jack, which I think is important, right, this team has a real shot. And at 18-1, you're getting great value on them. So no, I'm with you there. This is a team that if you're looking for a little bit of a score, it's not a reach at all.
Yeah, I just look at this UCLA team and what they are bringing back. I think it really starts with Brett Hundley, of course. I think you look at the makeup of this team. They're athletic. They've got talent all pretty much all over the place, I think. I think the coaching has really been a little bit of a surprise to many people. I don't think a lot of people expected Jim Moore to have this kind of success. I was a little higher when he was hired than some other people, but I don't know if I quite imagine this developing, but it's really been kind of fascinating to watch. And I look at the swagger of this team. I know it's not really a tangible measurement for a team, but you have to look at the confidence level that they play with. And I think that's something that they've really kind of grown since Mora has come into this program. And I think we're seeing a confident team. And I think, like you said, that schedule, they do play Stanford and they do play Oregon, but they get them at home. So it's about as favorable as they could probably get.
It's funny, when Mora was hired, I remembered, I did not like it at all. That was pretty critical of it. And it's actually, following that, it's really changed the way I've evaluated coaching hires, because everyone wanted to be outraged when Steve Sarkisian was hired. Mm-hmm. And I learned from my mistake. And then, of course, Steve Sarkisian started 3 5-star players on National Signing Day and has a ton of momentum now. Is sort of following a similar path. We just don't know. We do know that Moore's energy, personality has translated just beautifully to that particular campus into the college game. They're recruiting, they're playing younger players, they're developing talent. I think the biggest thing that he's got to do, he's got to get an offensive line. That could be the Achilles heel for this team. If he can do that with what they have going on this year, the sky is the limit for them.
Well, Adam, before I let you go, first of all, I want to thank you so much for setting aside some time to record this podcast. Really appreciate having you on. Hopefully we can do this again in the future. But give us a sneak peek. Do you guys have anything at Bleacher Report that fans can start to kind of keep an eye open for? Anything you can share with us that may be coming down the pipeline as we get closer to that, the start of the season?
Sure. Yeah, definitely looking to do more player profiles. Setting some of that up now. It's been real fun talking with kids talking with some coaches around the country and just getting a gist for the season ahead, I think people want to hear about that stuff more than 18-9 game schedule. I want to talk about the players that we can look forward to. So we'll have more of that. And then we're going to be doing the video bonanza. We've got a ton. We're going to be working on position battles here very soon. Shortly after that, we're going to be doing previews for all the top 25 teams and beyond and predictions. So you brought up a good point. It's the off season, but we are inching closer and closer. The fact that we're going to be preparing for these you know, huge videos and getting them ready to go for the season is a really big deal. So we are going to be talking football, actual football, and more of it, and you know, it's going to be a blast.
Well, you've got a pretty good team to work with over there, so we're definitely looking forward to what you guys have put together. We will definitely keep an eye open for that. Adam, of course, you can follow him on Twitter at KegsNEggs, KegsNEggs. Of course, we'll have the link to that and some of your stories that you had on Bleacher Report that we kind of touched on. We'll link to them on the show right up for this episode. So, Adam, thank you once again. Hopefully, we can talk to you again soon.
All right, man. Thank you very much. We'll talk soon.
That will bring this episode of the Crystal Ball Run podcast to a close. Once again, my thanks to Adam Kramer of Bleacher Report for checking in this week. Be sure to check the show notes for this episode for some links to Adam's coverage we referenced during our conversation. And once again, be sure to follow Crystal Ball Run on Twitter at Crystal Ball Run. You can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/Crystal Ball Run and look us up on Google Plus. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast in iTunes using our newly updated listing. And if you have a minute, feel free to leave us a review and maybe a rating. We'd really appreciate your help. If you are on the go, you can also catch this podcast on Stitcher Radio at Stitcher.com or using the Stitcher mobile app on Apple and Android devices. Until next time, everybody, my name is Kevin McGuire. You can give me a follow on Twitter at Kevin on CFB. For everybody at Crystal Ball Run, thanks for listening. We'll talk to you later.